You are listening to Life Science Connect Radio. Broadcasting live from New York and direct from the show floor of Interphex. Advancing the processing of life-enhancing drugs. Life Science Connect and Interphex, together in the Big Apple. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good morning. This is Todd and Todd, live from New York, Life Science Connect Radio, on location, direct from Interphex, Day 3. Todd, we have an exciting guest up next, but guest after guest after guest, blowing me away.
The education of Todd and Todd continues.
Continues, and I suspect with our next guest, it will continue to continue. Say hello to Ian Selleck. He's the Director of Marketing with Paul Life Sciences. Ian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome, Todd, or Todd Squared, I guess we should call you.
We'll go with any option
there.
It's
going to be one of those interviews.
It's going to be one of those. Ian, we have an interesting conversation to have here, but before we do that, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Right, well, Ian Selleck, I'm the Director of Marketing for Paul Life Sciences. I've been with the company for 20 years now, and I actually started off graduating in biological sciences and did postgraduate research. So I've pretty much been involved in this general type of area all my life.
All your career. Outstanding. Well, go 10,000 feet up with Paul Life Sciences. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Well, Paul Life Sciences is an established company. Paul Corporation was founded in 1946, so we've been in the area for a good long time. The life sciences part of the business is increasingly broad range provider of goods and services, all about taking the pharmaceutical industry's raw materials and turning them into life saving drugs. Mm. And you know, we truly do that on an end to end basis.
Single-use technology, Ian, something that's popping up over and over and over, has for a couple of years now. But what's Paul's vision for single-use technology?
Well, we've actually been involved in single-use really for a very long time, because we have the industry-leading filter technologies, and that's where Paul started off. And really, for the last 20 years, that part of the process has actually been single-use. What we try to do is to extend the breadth of that and continue to do that, and to use single-use technology as a way of advancing the industry, as a way of making things possible in an affordable way, which may not have been possible before, for example. Because single-use technology requires relatively little capital expenditure, it means that companies can maybe experiment with new technologies which may have been too expensive to build a traditional pharmaceutical plant for. Also, it allows the pharmaceutical industry to produce locally, because you can just take the same single-use equipment, it's very simple, and put it down somewhere else in the globe. But I think one of the things which really would be a real benefit of single-use technology is to take the industry away from just converting a traditional stainless steel process into single-use, and to think outside the box and say, do we actually need to do things this way? You know, can single-use technology actually enable a completely different way of doing things, a paradigm shift in the industry?
I just want to follow up on something you said. I had never thought of it before. You talked about the lower capital cost involved with the single-use technology, and then you also said it enables more experimentation. It strikes me that might drive a faster pace in coming out with new treatments, just so I can fail more often and more quickly and find the right thing sooner. Is that
yeah.
right? Sensible train of thought?
Yes, it is, because setting up single-use systems is a very short-term process. If you're building a traditional plant, then you know, you have a very long engineering and architectural phase, whereas with single-use technologies, you can actually design something and actually build it very quickly. And if it happens not to work exactly how you thought it was going to, then you can change it very quickly as well. And nowadays we have tools such as a configurator program, you know, it's a computer-based system which actually helps the user to actually design very quickly the single-use systems and integrate the technologies together, and that generates designs that then can go direct to manufacture. And so, you know, it can take days instead of months to actually come up with a system and then produce them relatively rapidly.
Boy, Todd, you know, interesting. I mean, Ian, no surprise to you, we've had a lot of conversations around single use at this show, but Todd, the perspective from a lot of our guests so far has been in some new thinking.
Yep.
And it sounds like Paul has been a very critical innovator there. Ian, talk to me about sterile connector and disconnector technology. What's the value to the user there?
So the ability to actually join a lot of these single-use items together in a sterile way is paramount to actually operating single-use, because you still have a lot of steps in a process, but what you don't want is this huge octopus of tubing and biocontainers and other pieces all as one part. You break it into manageable chunks and then join it together. And in point of fact, Paul came out with the industry's first sterile connector, and it was actually 13 years ago. Mm. And that actually, we believe, was actually the single technology that actually enabled the whole single-use revolution, was a way of actually joining things together. Obviously, a lot of people have competing versions of that that now, because it's flattering to be, to be in that position. And nowadays, we have disconnectors as well, because after you've finished using a particular piece, you need to be able to take it apart again and still maintain the sterility of the
sure.
system. So the latest thing is, with single use actually going into larger and larger volumes, is actually having very large scale connectors as well. So nowadays we go up to 1.5 inch flange connections in sterile connectors, which, you know, for you radio guys may not mean much. It still sounds quite small, but for the industry actually it's big.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Extractables and leachables, still something that's pretty darned important, getting talked about a lot.
Yes, absolutely, because you're now using a lot more plastics and a lot of different plastics actually in contact with the fluid. So you really have to understand what they contribute to the process stream. And the industry still is coming to grips with standardizing the testing and how those should be evaluated. But again, you know, we've been making plastic devices for the industry for a great many years, so consequently we were in a very good early position on that, and some of the guidelines from industry organizations such as the Bioprocess Systems Alliance, they actually encompass a lot of the extractables and leachables work that we had historically done as leaders in that field.
All right, bioreactors and mixers. Talk about some of those applications.
Yeah, to start your biotech process, you have to grow cells. And so we have a whole range of bioreactors now. We may have come to that a little bit later than some other people, but it allowed us to step back and to see what was genuinely needed. And what we're doing is to provide a range of bioreactors which actually cover all of the bases in the industry. So we have bioreactors for suspension cell culture, for recombinant protein production, for example. We have bioreactors which are more suited to vaccine producers, and we have a dedicated range of bioreactors for the newly developing area of cellular therapy. Mm. And there's a lot of people looking at cellular therapies, but very very few people have actually dedicated technologies and are investing in the resources for that part of the industry. We actually have some very interesting technology in that area.
Different kind of question. No small amount of time and treasure required to exhibit here at Interphex, and I especially over booth 3021, someplace everybody wants to swing by for Fall Life Sciences. Talk about why you're here. Why is the investment worthwhile?
Well, it's even better than that, because we actually have 3341 as well.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, I mean, we have a very, very diverse portfolio of products, and I mentioned that we go all the way from, you know, taking the raw materials or helping people to grow it, all the way through to packaging. I mean, we even go so far as to produce ultra clean packaging for final product and medical devices. We do pyrogen-free vials. We do systems for filling, as well as the things which maybe people traditionally have associated with Paul, starting off as a filter company. And the consequence of that is of having such a broad portfolio is you really need to be in a venue where you get a broad spectrum of people from across the industry coming in, and this is a good venue to do that.
All right. Well, Ian, I hate to say it, but we are about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Paul Life Science?
Well, the website, of course, at paul.com, and if you want to get directly to the pharmaceutical industry part, /biopharm, just remember either biopharm or biotech at paul.com. Your email will find its way to me in a central messaging system, and I actually read everyone that comes in from around the world, and
I
enjoy doing that.
All right. Ian Selleck, Director of Marketing with Paul Life Sciences. Ian, it was a real pleasure. Thank you for stopping by and all your great work.
Yes, thank you, Todd Squared.
Our pleasure. All right, well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Ian Selleck, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick, Life Science Connect Radio's live coverage from Interphex. We'll be right back.